This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for business on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury, and this is Open for Business here on Enterprise. Today, I'm talking with the people behind Doctor On Call. They were established in 2017 and is Malaysia's first and largest digital health platform. On their existing platform, they offer telehealth consultations, online pharmacy, medication delivery, credible health-related articles, doctors, and specialist booking. With its extensive network of over 1,500 specialists in private hospitals and more than 100 GP doctors throughout Malaysia, patients are also able to order and receive prescription drugs safely and promptly. It has over a million page views monthly and has carried out hundreds of thousands of consultations with doctors. Recently, the Ministry of Health, in partnership with Doctor On Call, established a virtual health advisory portal. This is to address the growing number of public queries on the COVID-19 disease and correcting misinformation. This portal is the first of its kind to be initiated by government in the region. And recently, Celcom Axiata Berhad, Celcom, announced that they'll be exploring the potential to expand the reach of Doctor On Call. This is done with the aim of providing quality, affordable and convenient healthcare access to Celcom's subscribers. On the phone with me right now, I have Maran Viramandi. He's the co-founder and MD of Health Digital Technologies, the people behind Doctor On Call. Welcome to the show, Maran.
Thank you, Richard.
That's quite an introduction and quite an achievement already.
Oh, yes, it is.
Tell me a little bit about the initiation of the project then. What kind of sparked the initial idea?
All right, Richard. Well, both Hagon and me, prior to this, had been working in consulting firms, right? Mm. And we'd worked on a large-scale transformation program that with our clients to realize their strategy through either digital means or operational improvement. So it was when I went into the medical field, I saw massive opportunities to leverage on digital technology as well as business innovation to serve the patients better. Mm. So that's when I called my consulting colleague, Hazwan. And during our research, we found there were fundamental problems in the healthcare space with the healthcare costs growing at 20-30% year on year, and less than half of Malaysians have insurance cover, as well as the patients having fundamental problems in terms of obtaining information from credible sources, either in Bahasa as well as in English in Malaysia. Mm. And so our research led us to establishing Doctor On Call as Malaysia's first digital health platform with a vision of providing high-quality, accessible, and affordable healthcare. And we leverage, we focus primarily on leveraging on technology as well as our new business model in terms of realizing this dream.
So when you had this idea and you've kind of bounced it around a little bit, obviously you have to look at trying getting some money to get this kind of off the ground. How difficult was it to raise funding for a project like this? And kind of who did you approach and how did you make it work?
Right. So we took a pragmatic approach to starting Doctor On Call. It was largely self-funded. We haven't drawn a salary for the last couple of years.
Ouch.
All with the single focus of getting the solution up, road testing it, and ensuring that it was viable. Mm. We were not the type to, you know, come up with a PowerPoint slide and go out there for a fundraising event. So after having served the patients for a few years, we then reached out to our board of advisors who understood our passion and our vision, and we were fortunate to have their word of confidence and secured a round of funding from them. Mm. So it's been roughly 4 years of running on our own, as well as a small round of funding from our advisors.
Okay, so you offer a plethora of services via the website. How did you determine which services you needed to offer? Did you feel as though there were some Malaysians that needed they needed more information and accurate information? Because as we know, there's a whole bunch of inaccuracies going around via WhatsApp or whatever it is. Did you just sit down and say, okay, we need to be able to speak to doctors, we need to get information on there that's credible? How did you come to that decision?
Right. Pretty much like what you had mentioned earlier, Richard, we started off with the easiest entry point, right, which is to serve the patients through providing our online doctor consultation service. Mm. So patients can call up and talk to their doctors through chat, phone or video call. And we built a clinical management solution around it in which the doctors will be able to take notes as well as offer their prescriptions and referrals. We also, as part of the initial service, launched Malaysia's first medication delivery and e-pharmacy service. Mm. And we focused on passing the cost savings that we had with our bulk negotiation with the pharmacist of up to 30 to 70% cheaper medications as compared to the clinics and hospitals back to the patient. So we went off to a good start with the patients being able to connect with their doctors through accessible means as well as obtaining affordable services. And within the first year, we also launched our health blog by investing about 50,000 over articles and videos as well as FAQs to serve Malaysians, especially in the Bahasa segment, with credible content. So when we started getting a form of mass adoption by the public, they start flowing up this information to their payer groups comprising of the insurers and their corporate employee benefit programs. And we had our partners reach out to us for the fourth set of service, which was our corporate employee concierge program. And from then on, we launched our fifth service around the health forum for the patients to ask questions in a medical forum. And our last set of offering would be our specialist surgeon booking, in which now we allow patients to book their appointments with the panel of specialists in the hospitals as well as clinics.
Right. Have you been surprised by the demand for something like this? How quickly has it grown over the last few years?
Well, Richard, the first few years were difficult. Mm. It was difficult in terms of establishing the trust with both the community that we serve as well as with the doctors group. But to our persistence and understanding that over the US and China, as well as India and in many countries, this sort of digital communication with doctors and as well as medication delivery is really very pervasive.
Yeah.
Would you do you know that there's about 400 million calls a year over in the US between patients and doctors?
Mm.
And we have statistics from one of the largest players in China that does about a million calls a day.
Yeah. I mean, so, I know it happens in the UK as well. I mean, most of the time you deal with not even a doctor for the most part. It's a nurse first, and then you get to speak to a doctor.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. And so we understood that we needed to persevere and work with both the communities as well as the partner groups in terms of educating them on the benefits as well as the cost saving that they would obtain from moving from a pure brick-and-mortar approach through the digital means.
You are, of course, tuned in to Open for Business here on Enterprise on BFM 89.9. On the phone, I have Maran Viramandi. He's the co-founder and MD of Health Digital Technologies, the people behind Doctor on Call. We'll be right back, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. Welcome to Open for Business here on Enterprise. My name is Rich Bradbury. If you're only just joining us, I have Maran Viramandi. He's the co-founder and MD of Health Digital Technologies, the people behind Doctor on Call. They're established back in 2017 and is Malaysia's first and largest digital health platform. Now, Maran, just before the break, we had a bit of a chat about the formation of the idea, funding, the services that you have available. Now, you mentioned a little bit about trust and things. And I kind of want to get into that before we start talking about demand, because I'm guessing right now demand is pretty high. So stuff like sensitivity, what assurances are users given about the people that they're talking to? How can they be absolutely clear that they are who they say they are, especially if they're not doing like a video consultation?
Yeah, good question, Richard. And something that we had to face pretty much head on during our early days. So we try to do that by tackling it both ways. Firstly, through reassuring our patients during the customer journey, allowing them to see the doctor's profile, the pictures of the doctors, as well as their qualification.
Yeah.
And then allowing them to see the artifacts or the documents that come out of the consult, such as the prescriptions, the MCs or the referrals, and seeing their doctor's MNC numbers or their signature on it. And we also provide a pretty convenient mechanism, feedback mechanism, to allow the patients to channel their feedback in terms of the patient doctor's etiquette, as well as their comfort level with the diagnosis.
Like you would on a ride share or something like that.
Right, you would. And it took a while for the doctors to understand and agree to it. But it's an essential element in terms of ensuring the quality, especially with our payer groups, such as the insurance and the corporate.
Yeah.
But what's key to the entire discussion would be the processes that underpins our doctor's onboarding and review process, right? So we start off by reviewing the doctor's qualification. Mm-hmm. We have a panel that actually allows the doctors to come in if they're comfortable with them. And then we go through a process where we review their APC, the annual practice certificate, as well as ensuring they're registered with the proper authorities. And then we onboard the doctors through about a stringent 1-week telehealth training program,
right,
where they understand our protocols, our patient safety protocols, and provide their feedback to it too.
So was it difficult to get any of these doctors like on board and onto the platform? I mean, they already work a lot of long hours, you know. There must be something in it for them other than the benefits of treating more patients. You know, how are they compensated? And does that affect the prices that they charge for consultations?
So I think the simple answer would be the fact that we have a fixed fee approach of 20 ringgit per consult with our GP.
Right.
And we do that by ensuring that it's there's no surprises to both the doctors as well as the patient. And to answer your question about the doctor's adoption, we were fortunate to have a group of pretty progressive, like-minded GPs who were at the forefront of supporting us and recruiting doctors to our platform.
Yeah,
they helped us explain to the doctor groups that we're not really competing with doctors like how you would have in a ride-hailing service. But instead, our service allows the doctors to establish their virtual presence, allows them to serve their patients across geographical boundaries, and also earn a decent wage to supplement their income. So by taking a lot of input from them in terms of their medical protocol, patient protocols, and allowing them to write medical content and run health camps with our corporate and insurers, we really started building a relationship with our doctors and a sense of ownership on our platform rather than just a transactional relationship.
Gotcha.
And that really helped us work ourselves into the GP community.
I just want to rewind a little bit and talk about the pharmacy and the drug dispensation. How can you, again, it's another one about trust, and how can you be sure that people aren't likely to take advantage of this service? You know, how robust is that system?
Right. So, again, we were fortunate to actually have good partners working with us, specifically Caring Pharmacy, as well as the government, to the Digital Health Malaysia group that worked with us in terms of ensuring the patient safety protocols. So some of the simple protocols would include for us to have the patients provide their full details, including IC and address.
Yeah.
We also have a strict rule against dispensing psychotropic as well as sleeping pills, things which lend themselves to being easily abused.
Yeah.
We also work with our pharmacists in terms of establishing medications which are either in group B or group C, typically medications like birth control or antibiotics or medications that you commonly see in a clinic setting, to have consults firstly given by the doctors and the prescription that are issued out verified by the pharmacist, right? So that we ensure that both the doc, there's a check and balance between the doctors and the pharmacist.
Mm.
But what's also, you know, playing to our strength of being a technology company is having proper smart built into controls, such as quick reports that sees whether the patients constantly consume those particular medications, and you know, warning our doctors and pharmacists to allow them to then counsel the patients in the correct manner.
Got it. Earlier on, you mentioned your corporate partnerships. So you've got insurance partners, government agencies, ecosystem partners. How difficult has it been to form any of these partnerships? And more importantly, I guess, for some of these partnerships to play nicely with one another?
Right. So trust was a major challenge, again, in terms of establishing our relationship with the payers. Obviously, there are the insurers as well as corporates who run their employee benefit programs have their members in mind, and especially their safety.
Yeah.
But there was a real incentive from them in terms of adopting us for allowing accessible healthcare, right? Many of them have patients or members in rural areas, out of town, or in various remote locations, or even outside their home location.
Mm.
As well as the cost savings that we could deliver in a very credible and pragmatic way. So by us demonstrating through pilot programs and through our integration with them in terms of designing specific customer journeys, testing it with them, as well as training their members, we really adhered ourselves to this group of people.
Mm.
And it was tough during the first 2 years when, you know, they were not aware of us.
Yeah, they didn't know who you were.
The right level.
Yeah.
Yeah. But after getting a lot of positive feedback from the community that they were serving themselves in terms of the articles that were written and as well as the consults that were paid out of pocket, their members themselves asked for us to be onboarded as an online clinic.
Great. I've got a couple more questions before we wrap up. One of them is about convenience and how obviously a website is great and convenience is a big thing with many consumers. Now, obviously these days people want an app. They want to be able to do things that you're offering on a phone, wherever they are. Is there an app in development? And if so, how different is it likely to be from the website?
Okay. So underpinning our service would be the patient health record. And we have established perhaps Malaysia's largest digital health record system, right? And key to that would be the fact that an app would allow for patients who really value us and use us repeatedly to keep using us. And we definitely have that in the pipeline.
Mm.
So right now, the focus has been on you know, sharpening our web app and allowing for the patient discovery process to work really smoothly. But as we onboard, as we recognize and onboard the repeat patients and the high usage patients, we have an app in development, and that's part of our Series A plan.
Mm.
So our Series A will take us for the next 2 years, which will involve us rolling out our app and introducing a whole set of new services to accompany that, as well as, you know, some plans and aspirations to go regional.
Excellent. Right. Obviously, right now, the world is experiencing some big changes. We've seen the rise of COVID-19 in the outbreak. And obviously, a service like yours, I would imagine, is under high demand right now. How have your numbers changed? And have you had to make any significant changes to your website or anything? Have you had to buy new servers? How's things working out over there?
Right. So COVID-19 has been a fortunate break for us in terms of our relationship with our various partners, and specifically the government. So when the Malaysian government reached out to us to support them on this initiative, we came up with our grand plan of integrating with them and allowing for our high usage platform to serve as their national COVID website.
Mm.
And as we integrated with them and allowed for the content creation and the usage of our forum, risk assessment, as well as the telehealth service, we really ramped up our demand. And from an average traffic of about 30,000 views a day, we now top about 120 to 150,000 views daily.
Oh my.
And that fivefold increase has largely been geared or generated by the work that we do with the government and their outreach programs through the media, as well as through other government agencies.
Mm. That's quite an incredible rise, and for people who are talking about how bad COVID-19 is for business, not so much for you guys, huh?
Well, yes, that's been the fortunate case for us, and I think it's also made telehealth or digital health, the industry as a whole, really moving on to mainstream business, right? A lot of people now really understand that it's pretty convenient to talk to a doctor, to our doctors, and to get general advice as well as to get their medications delivered to them in that case, as well as consume content and start their healthcare journey through the digital means.
Mm. Maran, thank you very much for your time today. It's been very eye-opening.
Thank you, Richard, and it's been likewise for me. A real great opportunity.
Okay, you have been listening to Open for Business here on Enterprise. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is BFM 89.9, the business station.
You've been listening to Open for Business on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.